10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I am a very sleep-deprived Jay Cranda with my co-host Neil Smith.
Neil, Jay, congratulations.
I know. I have been in this crazy mode of expecting and not expecting this kid. It's our third. It's our first girl. Elle Cranda was born on the 20th of August. It was a very fast and smooth delivery. We were out of the hospital by Monday, which we came in on a Saturday, and it was just like, now we're just dealing. And my son started kindergarten this week, so we're like a new.
All in the same week.
Yeah. So, and you know this, Niels, with kids in school, like that brings a whole nother paradigm of they have to go to bed a little earlier. They have to, like, that whole nother, and we're not morning people. And I felt like I just ended school a couple years ago, and now I'm starting this whole thing again. Yep. So we've been fun. Thank you, Niels. You've had some really good podcasts picking up slack.
So I appreciate it.
It's been great. And I'm looking forward to get re-engaged. And so we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yep.
First off, I saw the sad news. You lost somebody this week.
Yes. While you brought new life into your family, our family lost a family member. So when we moved to Dallas, I got to tell the full story here. It won't be that long. For my birthday last year in New York, my wife got me a drone. Stinking awesome. It has like a little camera on it. I was so pumped about it. So I started reading up on it. I was like, I don't ever see anybody fly drones in New York. Like, where do you do this? Well, turns out it's illegal because you can't fly it whenever there's a crowd of people, and there's nowhere that there's not a crowd of people in New York. So I literally like flew it in our apartment, which is 700 square feet. So I didn't really fly it. And so when I got to Texas, like,
aren't they pretty strong? Like, could it like, can you cut yourself if you put your hand in?
And I actually did the terrible parenting of the year. I got it caught in my daughter's hair one time. Like, tangled up. She has long blonde hair. Tangled up in her hair. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to, like, cut her hair. My wife is going to kill me. And we got it out. My wife doesn't even know that, I don't think. Anyways, I had a drone. So, like, every night, like, this was, like, our tradition. Like, when I came home from work, I'd go outside. I said it was the tradition. We did it for like 4 days in a row. But I'd fly the drone, you know, and the battery only lasts about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But I'd just take the drone outside and we'd fly it in the air right on our front porch. And this thing, like every time I get a little more brave and I do more with it and I could flip it and do all these crazy things. One day we go outside and it gets turned around and I lose it in the sun and it goes way high in the air and it went out of range and it blew away into this field where cows are. Texas is what we have. And I lost the drone.
So for those who don't understand, how does that work? So like they have a range and they pretty much tell you if they lose, because it works off GPS, essentially a satellite. Like,
yep.
So they say, because they've been known to just drift off, right?
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what the range is. I think it's like 150 yards or 100 yards or something like that. And so in mine, like, so when I lost it in the sun, my initial response, which is ridiculous as I look back, was like, I'll just go up. You know, like, I just want to go up with it and then I'll find it. Well, next thing I know, I see it way up in the air. It anymore. And what happened is once it got really high, the wind got a hold of it.
Yeah.
And you don't have you almost need to have zero wind when you fly it. And the wind just took it. And I probably shouldn't have even been flying at this day anyway. I just was having so much fun. And
I will say that drones for churches, if you want to get some cool footage, like we've done that a couple of things where And actually, in our cases, and then probably a lot of in some churches, especially churches over 1,000, you might have a member that has a drone, and you could just like get some cool footage. And it's definitely cool to have aerial shot over your campus, and we've used some of that. So you know, I love the story, but we're gonna bring it back. We're gonna try to make it somewhat practical.
There are practical opportunities around drones, and like having it, like I was like, oh, what if I could do this or this? Yeah. But so this is a cheap drone in comparison to something that you can really capture good footage with. But yeah, I mean, it even with a cheap drone with a cheap camera, it's like a 2-megapixel camera on there. It still caught some cool footage up in the air, and like just the movement of it captures a really cool little.
I had a friend who had a drone, and he had a similar experience, but he had like a really expensive one, and and what happened with him was he was flying it over a lake. And it lost signal, and it dove.
Tanked into the lake.
And I think what happened was it hovered for a little bit. I think like this one was programmed if it loses signal, it hovered.
Yeah.
Something that happened, it just dived. And I was like, why would you ever be flying this $1,000 plus thing?
Yeah.
I would never. Anyways, but what he did was he, small business tip, hashtag small business tip. He bought this drone for fun, but then he got paid like $250 for like realtors to do a properties they were selling. So like eventually like got it paid for itself. Cause he would just do like a realtor friend. I think he got some contract and he said, I'll just do. So kind of like, you know, if somebody was doing churches, like, okay, can we just get some aerial B footage, you know? So there's some really, anyways, besides the point.
I love it. So that's my drone story. Jay, you're doing some interesting, let's talk ministry. You're doing some interesting stuff around your online groups. Talk about that.
Yeah. So we have been messing around. We've shared a little bit about this idea of going online to offline. And obviously that online to offline is merging more and more just with our world. And so a big thing with us is I want to get people who are watching in our online community in the community. We do that heavily by allowing people to start groups, both online and in homes. The problem is to start a group in your home, if you want something locally and you live far away from a church, people do that, and we have, you know, under my care, we have over 1,600 of those groups that do that. But it's still a pretty big step. And so I always look at, I might have 1,600 groups with, you know, 7,000 people in community, but essentially I still have 20,000 people that watch every week. And so I still have this margin. Now I know there's a percentage of my community that are part of other churches and there's all those factors, but I still need to figure out how to be better. And the number one thing I hear as an online pastor in my job at my church is there anybody in my area? And because of privacy, I can't just share that info. I have to go different, you know, models. And so we've done all sorts of different things. I've flown places and I've done meetups, as I shared a couple weeks ago, in the East Coast. I've done it in Dallas, in Austin, in San Antonio. I've done it up in San Francisco. But that model isn't scalable. So I had an idea, and we shared this. I shared a little bit of this. Kenny Jang had this brilliant, as we were talking about this, we met up, actually you and I, we met up in New Jersey, and I was talking about this, and he was joking around with me about like, wow, megachurch, they just allow you to just fly places and do meetups. And I was like, yeah, but I do like one a year kind of idea, one trip. But, you know, it kind of promotes what we value. And he said, why don't you do like regional online meetups, like use a Zoom call or a Skype call and like do one just for like the state of Virginia or, you know, for let's say the Northeast or whatever. And then you could use that. And so he said that, and it like unlocked all these ideas. And so I just rolled this out this week. I'm promoting it. And essentially what we're doing is that we're calling them regional online meetups, and we're doing one for Alabama, for Florida, one for South and in North Carolina. We just rolled up one for Oregon. And so what we're doing is a bunch of my volunteers are going to take a state or multiple states, and we're promoting it to our community of find out who lives in your area. And we're going to get on a group Zoom call. And we're trying to make these like small, maybe a little bit bigger. And when they get on the call, the video call, they could call in as well, but essentially they introduce who they are, where they're watching from, a little bit how they got connected to our church. And then ultimately the goal is to find out if anybody's near each other and then facilitate this online meetup to drive physical community. And so I'm going to empower my volunteer. So I'm going to do the first couple and create a routine. And so essentially all I do is it's a Zoom call. So Zoom gives you a link. a schedule, and so my volunteers can host it. And I want to do one in every state over the next 6 months, and I also want to start doing them in all countries. So I have volunteers, and so it's this idea to use this kind of half step of online meetup. Now the other thing we're doing is I have online community. I have my online service, but my lobby experience, my patio experience, is a Facebook group. So I have a master Facebook group that I've been building up over the last 3 to 4 months. And so what I'm doing is I'm driving all the activity from my online service into my Facebook group. And instead of having these events somewhere else, I'm creating them as events in my Facebook group so that it drives more community there. And so anyways, that's what we're doing. I'll share more as we roll it out, but it's essentially a way, how do I connect people in Minnesota? Well, I could go there and drive that, but that's high investment on my end. But what if I can do online? The other thing I found out with physical meetups is that they are great, but it is hard to get somewhere at the end of the day, especially because usually when I go places, I'm trying to hit a lot. So I have to hit a morning. And so a lot of people, like we did a meetup in Connecticut, and the only time it worked was in the middle of the day in Connecticut. And we had two people show up, and I know it's because people were at work, but I was like, I could either do this meetup or not do it. And so the online ones work really good. This is what our theory is that, you know, people can, you know, you don't have to, you know, it's a lot easier and we can make it at prime time. So yeah, that's what's going on. It's going to be interesting. And I'm going to be share our learnings as we roll them out.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear about it. So I have a suggestion for you, and I think this will help a lot of our listeners. So here's my suggestion is I would use, if you're able to access it, the Saddleback Church Facebook page and do a post and target that audience. So you could target people that live in Virginia. So only people in Virginia can see this post in Facebook. So many people with email addresses and databases, they're all about segment. You know, like, we want to get this segmented list. Well, the reality is Facebook will segment our list for us, and our list being our Facebook page likes, and we can target all of our posts. So as you have a women's ministry event, sure, it might be okay for a husband to see it and share it with their wife, but really it's going to be irrelevant to most of those people, and Facebook isn't going to show it to your core audience. If you will segment your Facebook list through those marketing type posts and say, we're only going to show these women's ministry events to women, or this men's Bible study event to men that fit this demographic, or students, or whatever the group might be, Facebook allows us to segment in our post. And so anyways, I would try that with what you're doing. Is try to take the people that like Saddleback Church. So obviously that's not normal for a lot of churches to have people all over the U.S. in their page. What you're doing is very unique. But I do think that it transfers, and when it comes to just from a segmented audience and what you're trying to specifically communicate to a niche audience within your greater audience.
Yeah, I love that. I you know, another idea outside of that, I think a way for your church, if you're a medium church, is especially if you're thinking about multi-site, that's very popular. Obviously, a lot of churches, that's probably the more premier way of planting, multiplying in the last couple of years, is you could use this regional meetup idea as a precursor. So a lot of times you go straight to planting a multi-site. So you're going to maybe curate your database from email addresses to addresses. Maybe, you know, you filter that with membership, small groups, whatever, giving. But one idea is, you know, maybe it, just testing out feelers, is that you do an online event like this just for, you know, the city that you're thinking about, and you can kind of get the feed. And maybe, you know, you're not going to get everybody, but you know, if you get somebody on that call, they might be part of your core. And so, you know, because at the end of the day, you can gather a crowd with a multi-site model. One of the keys is in the early, especially launching, is having a committed core. Because, I mean, I would much rather have 10 committed core members than 100 crowd, because I know the 100 crowd is just gonna, you know, it's just gonna come in and out. And I would rather have those 10 people that are all in, and maybe you can use something like this. So it's just cool to see how, especially you know, stuff like this, especially as you think about the way we do ministry, it's changing up so many things. And so anyways, I want to, Kenny Jang, that was a shout out, that was his idea, and I am stealing it. I rolled it out to my community this week, and he responded to my email, because he's on my master email list that I have like a ton of people on, which I didn't know. I forgot he was on that. Yeah. And so, but anyway, so hey,
Kenny Jang on Twitter. I do want to mention this. I want to take this a little further. I met with a mega church in Dallas this week who's talking about the exact same thing. And they said they think their online campus is essentially creating a microsite network, which is then going to lead into their multi-site network, you know? And so I think it's really interesting, the model you're creating, Jay, of it's kind of online to online, face-to-face to online to offline in a smaller gathering to what could potentially become a campus. So you're having some of these regional gatherings, but you're starting with these Zoom groups, which will likely form like a house church or a microsite, whatever you might call that, which could turn into a, you know, a consistent microsite gathering, which could essentially turn into a campus long-term. You really don't know where this could lead, but it's an interesting strategy that's developing in front of all of us.
I mean, at the end of the day, the number one thing that we talk about with people is you got to be thinking about your end in mind with your church's vision, and you got to be thinking about how you're funneling people, especially if you're putting content online. What you will find out, I don't care how big or small you are, you will find outliers of people watching in some areas. Yeah. You got to have a strategy. Now that can be as easy as, hey, let me find you a church. Or that can be, hey, like in my context, I kind of do a hybrid. Hey, are you plugged into a church, or do you want to be part of Saddleback? And so I can share with them. And so you have to have a theology of it. You have to have a, you know, ministry philosophy.
Yeah. So, but don't let that slow you down, is my opinion.
Yeah,
you can sometimes be like, oh, I don't know if I believe this. I don't know. And it's like, you got to dip your toe in the water at least a little bit to even develop your theology of it. I don't want to encourage people to overthink it, but develop your strategy. Don't just be like, oh, we're just throwing a bunch of stuff on the wall to see what sticks. Develop a strategy and a theology around how you're using the technology. Because Jay, you and I, you know, we lead differently. You really try to get people in face to face. Well, I've always driven people and say, you know what, I'm good with you living in just this digital space.
Yeah.
But we will also create additional opportunities if it leads that direction.
So, I feel like I always shock people with that, like when they talk to me. You know, one of the things that, you know, and I've talked to a bunch of our listeners, and, you know, we've shared these conversations when we interact with people at different conferences. And so I've talked to two churches this week, and it's just like, you know, I want people to be part of church the same way me and my family go. You know, now that might not be possible, but, you know, and I think that is obviously, we've just seen in the last 2 years how easier that is. And some of the connections, I think the line will be more blurred as the technology gets more robust and more scalable, especially as internet goes into more places, at least high res internet kind of, you know, goes, and the technology gets more seamless. But it's an interesting time. Yeah. Beta. You know, I was just telling somebody this week, they were talking about membership class, and they're online, and they said, well, my church does this. And I said, just call it something else. If you call it something else, then you're not set to that standard.
Yep.
Like, just literally call it something else.
Yep.
And then you don't have to fall to go, well, my membership is this. We'll call it like online starter stuff. You still want the same, like the content's probably great, and you want a commitment, but like call it something else, and then it allows you to beta the heck out of that. But I mean, I think that's something that we've learned, both being people in the online space so long, is this, it's just beta. The other thing, hey, I wanted, before we talk about, we got an update about tvapp.church. Are you, what's your pulse on Instagram stories? Better?
I think it's decreasing.
Oh, really?
Now, I say that to say that I'm putting up some lame content. I don't even know what to put up on there. And I'm like, I feel like it's boring without the filters on Snapchat.
Yeah.
But I feel like fewer people are engaging with it than when it first launched. So I still get maybe 300 to 400 views on each whatever Instagram story that I put up. But I was getting 500 to 600, you know, when it first opened up. Now, I see more people posting things on there, so maybe that's taking away. But I don't know. I'm up in the air now. It is making Instagram messages somewhat relevant. I'm getting more messages, and I'm interacting with that element of Instagram a little bit more.
Which is interesting how when they rolled that out, I was like, why are we doing messages? But now you can see the master plan of like, oh, so I have not used it that much. Like, I've used it. I'm seeing a lot of the trend of like the translucent marker around, like, people draw, that's a popular thing. I mean, I definitely like that. I did some Instagram posts like when I was like either in the hospital, like right after my daughter was born, or like later. Yeah. Oh, no, I did it with my son. Yeah, it was on Sunday. I took him to Five Guys. It was just him and I. Okay. And it was like, right, it's like dad time before he starts school.
Yeah.
And he honestly goes there. and he just likes to break the peanuts open.
Yeah, like that my girls love that too.
Yeah, it was, that's like
we don't have to get a burger or fries; just go get some peanuts for free.
So it's just like boom, boom. And so, anyways, I realized that I had to be so tired. Like, I went back and read my story, and like there was like three misspellings, and I was like, stupid. Can autocorrect just be everywhere? Can we just?
Yes, please.
Just everywhere. Why does my autocorrect on my Apple mail not work as good as Google or other things? Like, anyways, I'm such a 2000 kid. Yeah. Anyways, okay.
So let's set this up a little bit, Jay. So you and I, we this podcast has been all about, like, this started at your house with me, you, and DJ. And yeah. DJ just said, wouldn't it be cool if people could sit in on this conversation?
Yeah.
You guys should just do this. And so that's what this is today. You know, like, this is just you and I catching up in many ways and inviting everybody to listen in on our catching up. And you're exhausted and you're tired. And those are the people that are watching on our TV app can see that. And I am too. I'm on the road right now. I'm in my hotel room. But we're sharing this conversation. We're catching up. And so we want to catch everybody up on the TV app.
Yeah.
And I think here's the exciting news. If you're watching right now on our Apple TV, or if you're watching it on YouTube or something, we have now expanded our TV app to include Amazon Fire TV, which is a big update we've been working on.
And I do want to thank everybody who has been watching on our Apple TV, because we have about 500 people every month, which is like, wow. Like, really just cool, because we launched it and that's just thinking out of our community. So we're getting some really good.
That's amazing.
Just viewership out of that. Yeah, I just looked at that. There's some cool data as a church. There's some data that they share that is definitely intriguing. So,
So we have Apple TV now, Amazon Fire TV. What are we learning? You know, we've got now, you know, several, I don't know, we have 10, 12 apps up on the App Store or about to be launched. Some really incredible. I can't wait for people to see some of the churches and unique ministries that are jumping on.
Yeah, well, We've been working really hard, you know, Niels, you and I and our team, we've been doing a lot of hustle, just with trying. It's been fun just launching, obviously. We've also obviously learned a lot just starting a company. That's just, there's a lot of dynamics there that are really, it's like you only can learn it doing it.
Yeah.
I think, so the one thing is something, I want everybody to know that we launched Amazon Fire, but we also launched a couple easier ways for people to get on. So even if you're a smaller church and if you just want to get on Apple TV, we have a new way that you can get on for $75 a month. So if you just want an entry level, so there's some cool stuff we're doing. Go to tvapp.church. And there's some features that we're releasing. We just released a passcode feature where you can lock down a playlist on your Apple TV to a code. So if you have small group material, maybe you don't want everybody to have, and you make it like they have to start a group and then they can access. So we're working really hard and we listen a lot to our community. But I think the number one thing that we're learning is inherently that the way media is displayed on a TV is different. And you have to categorize the media just seamlessly. And honestly, this is essentially, and we've kind of stumbled into this because of our company that we've started and this realm that we're in, but this is kind of just an internet issue of curation. And I have just seen, like, it's kind of like it's the Netflix thing. Like, sometimes you get so overwhelmed that you search 20 minutes watching, trying to find something and you don't find anything and you just get annoyed. They have so much content that it's like, how do you filter it? And I think as a church, I think what I'm learning is how important it is to categorize your best content and leverage that. And honestly, it just makes you to think systematically. I think that's one of the big things I've noticed so far. It's just like, you should be caring about, like, just don't throw your content up on your website or on your YouTube channel. Even on YouTube, you should be categorizing, you create playlists and you should organize it so that people don't know you culturally. And you should be organizing it on your website and on your YouTube channel and on your TV apps and mobile apps in such a way that it's compelling for that device and to help those who are trying to find certain content.
Yeah. I think content, and that's one of the things that's so interesting about this platform, is so much over the last decade has gone mobile. And I say even the last 5 years has been mobile, 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 mobile video. And that trend is not slowing down. More and more people are engaging with mobile, but so much of that shift is about 2 to 3 minutes even 90-second video clips, because you're not watching long-form video. I say you're not. There's two, you will watch a Netflix show or here and there.
Yeah. But
optimally, that long-form content you're watching on your television. You want the bigger screen. You want to sit on your couch. You're kind of like locked in to consume this longer-form content. And I think churches and ministries have had to adapt to, okay, we're used to creating long-form content. How do we create clips for this other medium that isn't as natural for us? And I think with the TV is now making the TV accessible to churches, that now they have that platform for their content that's really optimal for their platform. But the reality is, in the past, you would have to have $100,000 camera system. Yeah. And you would have to have a TV contract. That'd be $30,000 a year. Our most expensive package, Jay, and this is my sales pitch. I feel like it's coming across as sales. I'm not a salesman. But our most expensive package is zero setup, $3,000 a year. You know, not a month. You know, right. I remember I talked to a ministry this last week in Dallas, and they were like, wait, but what's the catch? You know, like, what else is there? And it's like, no, it really, like, they're like, that's $3,000 a year. We can be on TV.
Yeah.
Not just on Apple TV, but on Apple, Roku, and yeah. Amazon Fire TV. And our cheapest package, $750 a month. That's what is it?
Or 75.
That's less than a grand a year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like, churches can be on TV. If you just have video and a Vimeo account, you can be on TV.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
It is crazy. And it's, I mean, I love that we get to be a part of that, Jay. And I love the ministries that are getting so excited about it. And every single one of them, as they get on, they're like, oh, wait, what about this? And you just realize how you can organize your content that you're creating every week, and then how you can optimize that for other opportunities. I think, Jay, one of the biggest opportunities that we're not seeing significantly yet that you're speaking to about that small group material is how this is going to transform small groups in churches all over the country so that they can essentially create a 5-10 minute video for every small group to watch in their home through their Apple TV or through their Roku easily. And they just click on that small group video, which kickstarts those conversations that are happening in the homes.
There's so many possibilities. And so if you're listening and watching this, go to tvapp.church. You can see our different plans and so forth. We would love to talk to you about that. I did want to shout out on that church community. If you go to thatcc.com, I'm only shouting out because January 17th, there is an event in San Diego, and I'm going to be speaking at it. So go to thatcc.com. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's going to be communications how are they setting up? It's like kind of like a one day thing. There's going to be a couple people, Anthony Miller from Saddleback Church, who does all our amazing, he leads our team. He's very sharp. He's going to be there, and a bunch of other people, Justin Dean and Van and so forth. So I'll put that link in there, but I wanted to give that shout out. Is there anything you're speaking of coming up that you
And we love that church guys, that church guys. It's hard to say.
You know what happened? They're in the of a rebrand. Like they just forwarded a bunch of their domains. So I'm unfortunately highlighting that right now, but it's thatcc.com.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I'm speaking at the iMinistry conference.
Sweet.
At Lake Point Church here in October. I think it's in October, mid-October. You just look up the just search iMinistry conference online, Google that and go. I'm keynoting alongside Alan George at Life Church. So pretty pumped about that. That's been a conference, Jay, you and I have attended many times in the past. And
great conference.
We love the community, kind of thought leadership around online campuses and internet ministry. And so really it's an intimate conference and something, and just like, that church, which is really focused around church communication. So love those conversations and love that and honored that you and I get to be a part of leading those conversations. So,
go to socialmedia.church to learn more about the show. Check out our show notes for anything that we talked about and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.